Okay, so let's get started. So, anything in particular we should discuss? We're just discussing any part. Anything? Okay, so.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What's the story with people? They want to hear the McGill
over.
They don't want to go to show. They
want to
hear it.
Okay, so yeah, let's discuss. So, Chris McGill, questions. Chris McGill over Zoom or over the phone. Is that something that works or doesn't work? So, the question's like this. The question is whether hearing something over a recorded device, or if you hear something over the phone, over the computer, is that considered to be Shemei Koran? So normally the way we fulfill the mitzvah Mikra Megillah is that the Baal Kori reads it in Shul, and everyone else, by hearing it, it's as if they're reading it. Now the problem is, when you hear something over the phone, do we say that's as if you actually heard the person reading it? Or since you're hearing sound waves, you're not actually hearing the actual voice of the one reading it, it doesn't work. This was subject to a major dispute in Poskim. There were a couple of Poskim who are lenient. The Munkacher is lenient. Yosef Engel is lenient, but again, the technology in the 1920s is a little bit different than the technology in 2023. So even though there were a few poskim are lenient, most contemporary poskim definitely do not. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thought it was completely awesome. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was a big tzaddik. His mother was deaf, and every single year Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would read the Megillah for her, even though according to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held that it absolutely accomplishes nothing. She's not fulfilling any mitzvah because...
Did she hear anything?
Yeah, she had an hearing aid. She had a hearing aid. According to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a hearing aid does absolutely nothing, because when you hear something through a hearing aid, you're not actually hearing the voice of the one reading the Megillah. You're hearing a echo. Essentially, what you're doing is you're hearing an echo, and then that you're not actually hearing the voice of the one reading the Megillah. You're hearing some other sense. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach paskin that hearing a Megillah from a hearing aid, hearing it over the phone, hearing it from, I mean, this is before computers. Any of that stuff, he says, absolutely, you're absolutely doing nothing. It's brachos of
Atala. Is the standard, like, makor, like, that people talk about with Gavidus, is it, like, with regards to shofar and echo?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's the sugya. The sugya is when it comes to shofar and echo, yeah, exactly. So the question is, what about when it comes to Chris Megillah? But the thing is that Chris Megillah, I mean, this is much worse, because... I mean, everyone agrees, when you say something over the phone, you're not hearing the actual voice. What you're hearing is you're hearing an electronic representation of the voice on the other side. So most post-consumers are doing nothing. You're absolutely doing nothing. The question is whether, okay, if you have no other options, it's better to do that than nothing. So some say, okay, rely on Moshe Feinstein, if you have absolutely nothing, so like better to listen to something over the phone rather than... But Pashas, most post-consumers hold, you're absolutely doing nothing, so... Definitely not with Hafila. And Ravolog was really upset. He thought during Corona that if we're going to be so meekle about letting people hear stuff over Zoom, then they're going to think it's like, oh, like you can just do it. Like, yeah, there you go, Reform. You got Reform Temple, Zoom Temple, Zoom McGill readings, and then you get, it's nothing. Recording most postings is nothing. So he felt better for people not to, some postings said, better not for people not to hear McGill 1 year than to have a Kilkulim in subsequent years. So, I don't know. Pashas, Zoom McGill readings are... Let's just say, it's hard to even call them B'dievet. It's absolutely nothing. Okay, again, I'm not saying everyone agrees. I'm saying, like, there are those who say the B'dievet, just the fact in your line, but most people say it's absolutely nothing. Okay, yeah.
Shalach Manos, this is, like, the first year I'm without my family.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. It could be Yotze, like, just your room, or, like you do a group giving, how does that work?
So, first of all, there's a big misconception, which is absolutely not true, that you have to give two separate foods out of two different brachos. Not sure where that one came from. That's definitely not true. So, the mitzvah of Shalach Maros, the Gemara in Megillah and Dazayin says that there's an obligation to give Shalach Maros. You have to give two foods to one person. So, okay, it's not so difficult. You should give two foods to one person. Ideally, it should be meal foods. When I was in yeshiva, some guy thought it'd be a nice shtick to give, like, one candy corn and, like, a jelly bean. So, Pashas, that doesn't work. It should be...
Well, that doesn't work.
What?
Why not?
Because it's smaller than kezias.
Oh, okay.
And there's a big question. What's the purpose of mitzvah shalach manos? So, right. You know, it's the Chirvan Sedeshan, and obviously this discussion is the purpose of the shalach manos for a suda. Or his purpose shalach manos to increase simcha, to increase reyos, whatever. But if you're giving them like a jelly bean, so that's absolutely. I mean, it's problematic for that's definitely not a meal food. So that's not
a meal food? Like,
what?
How many
connotations when
you wear it. Yeah, no, so supposing say for the first, yeah, kibbutz, three kibbutz is better. I mean, there's some opinions I'm posting. So general answer I try to do is the first shock once I give. So again, the halachic obligations, I don't have to give one. So like the first one I give, I'll try to be a little bit more generous, let's just say, and then after that.
Like the size or like the type of food?
Both. I'm saying you should give a meal food, so not everyone agrees. Not every, again, it's a subject, it's a big dispute in post, but not everyone agrees you could be Yosef candy. Because it's not really a meal food. Or if someone, let's say someone doesn't like the food.
What? Like a bag of pretzels
if
it's more than a
kibbutz? No, it's a pastor, so it works. Now, if you give it to someone who's celiac, you can eat the bag of pretzels, that's a separate, that's also a whole. If you give food, can you give food that someone can't eat? No, so it's a big discussion. It's a big discussion every year. The first shock once you give, try to be a yotzei. After that, you can do what you want. But provide you a safe post to a Toys of Victor, not River Victor Miller. There's multiple Toys of Victor. So the Toys of Victor held that every single shock once you give, you have to like fulfill all the halachas of shock once. So provide is like, that doesn't make any sense. Like the first one you give, fulfill the halacha. After that, do whatever you want. Yeah.
Can you be okay, like, if you buy someone else a meal?
Yeah, so the Yashiv held that in yeshivas, where they don't have... he said that the Bachim should swap meals, swap lunches. You can be okay, Shach Manas,
to...
What?
They didn't pay for it.
No, I'm saying it's yours. Once it's yours, then you can give it to someone else. I mean, that definitely works. The question is whether you can... there's a big shayla in posting to Evan, except so we discussed, can you be Yotzei Shach Manas and the Tosef Yom, the same thing? Let's say you give Shalk Monster an onion. Can you chop it right in with...
And also Perm Suda too?
What?
Perm Suda too?
If he eats it. Oh, you're not going to fulfill anything for him.
No, he gives to you, and then you eat as your Perm Suda.
Yeah, so that the Gemara says that. That definitely works. But I'm saying, if you give Shalk Monster to a poor person, do you fulfill Matan Zavion and Shalk Monster?
Does that
mean
money, Matan Zavion?
So not even agrees. Some assume Matan Zavion, if you assume purpose of Matan Zavion is really for the Perm Suda, so... Food might be bad. Again, most postmen assume that money is ideal, but someone said, but yeah, you could fulfill if you're giving food or other items. So if you assume like that. So again, I think the Shagasari is macro. I think the Shagasari said that doesn't work. You really have to do two separate givings.
Well, I heard that they better do it through a shliach. Is that true?
Oh, is it better to give shalach once to a shliach? So this is a controversial. So the Bin Yitzion has a tshuva about this. So Bin Yitzion said... He discusses, because the pasuk says mishloach manos. So mishloach manos implies shliach. So he discusses the whole question. His conclusion at the end of the day is really that it's not necessary. But if you really want to be machmir, then give it for shliach. So Mishabru quotes this halacha. Mishabru quotes this Bin Yitzion. So people are very machmir about it. But technically speaking, even the Bin Yitzion himself agrees that you yotzei the mitzvah even without giving for shliach. You definitely fulfill mitzvah by giving it directly. And then, so, okay, if you want to be machmer, but technically speaking, you definitely don't need to. And when it comes to who can be a shliach for mishloach manos, that's also a discussion. Most posts can assume you could send for a monk, you can send for a guard. It's not like an actual damn shlichus. Right? As long as the person, the recipient, receives a shloach manos, it doesn't make a difference how it gets them. So if it could be yotzei, however, whatever forms of shlichus you want, it's not an actual damn shlichus, even according to Chumrah. Saying it for a shliach. What?
Is the receiver needed to
know? Yeah, so you go to, the post can do point, Rechaim Kinyaskin, Yisrael Kazi, they point out that the receiver has to know where it's coming from. Again, there's a lot of that for him, like to say, it's the pound of Machloik is to insurance a dashin, and the Manus Levi, what's the purpose of Shalach Manos? If you assume that the purpose of Shalach Manos is that they should have food for the Suda, so it doesn't make a difference. So as long as they have the food, it doesn't matter. But if you assume that the purpose of Shalach Manos, like the Manus Levi, is to increase Reyes and increase friendship, and like Sky, so if the guy doesn't know who gave it to him, so you're not increasing any friendship. So I'm saying, so ideally you should notify the person who you're giving it, who it's from. Now again, as we said, you fulfill mitzvah shalach manos with the first one you give. So I'm saying, to be machmir for all these chumros after that, like, yeah, you're going above and beyond. Chashash kedushin, what? Yeah, okay, so Cheshash Kedushin, yeah. So is it a good idea or a bad idea? So apparently this is a white connect Shaila 2 years ago. Are engaged couples giving Shalach Manos to one another? Is this a good idea or a bad idea? So let's discuss this. So the Ma actually brings this down. The Ma passes the law on Sin Tafresh Sani Vav. So he says that a man should give Shalach Manos to a woman because the problem is that it's going to look like Kedushin, that people are going to think that he's going to be Mekadosh here. So this is another, that's the Mabins. Now the Levush says the reason why a man should give to a woman is for another reason, because he says, oh, it's Pritzus, Aruch HaShulchan says like this way, it's a bit Pritzistic that men and women are giving to one another, so they shouldn't do it. And then we don't, as much as we want to create a race amongst Klai, so right, we don't want to create the wrong race between men and women. So that's what the Levush, so what's the practical difference between this? So Chosin giving to this cow, right? If you assume that the reason is about Chashash Kedushin, right? So it's going to apply even for Chosin giving to a cow. But if you assume that the question is, if you assume that the problem is that we don't increase friendship between men and women appropriately, right? Okay, so if they're engaged, so this obviously is not so inappropriate. So what happened? So the wife next to Mrs. Sobolewski asked her husband, Rabbi Sobolewski. And Rabbi Sobolewski decided to phone the Shechter. And the Shechter said, well, once the Rama writes that men shouldn't give the woman, he said that we should try to follow the Rama. If it wasn't the Rama, it was like some Achron gave the Chumra, fine. But I'm saying once the Rama writes, the Shechter felt that ideally Chosin shouldn't give directly to his cow. I think the Minog does just give to the family, meaning the Chosin will give to the cow directly, or give it to the mother of the cow, or whatever, on behalf of the cow. I think Rabbi Yashar said, like, do that. Rabbi Yashar said, don't give to your cow directly, just give it to the mother of the cow, or give it to some other family member, and then they can give it there. Yeah.
What's with like this stuff in Kedushin? You're allowed to give a woman something, though.
Good.
Something is your message
in Kedushin. And you can the Rama says.
It's a suffix, no?
Yeah, it's, he says. It's the Lashon Rama. Yeah, I think he says a suffix Kedushin. I don't think he says. Yeah, the very end of Sim Tafir Shahai.
Meaning you
come
on her, like, I don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
I don't
know.
Yeah, whatever. He says the Mishnah Berurah explains because we're going to be concerned that people want to say that they gave this over for Kedushin, and the Kedushin not in front of other people. Okay, look, it's a very far fetched concern, but Lamaisa, we try to do things that avoid Safi Kedushins, right? There are all sorts of chumras and poskim to avoid Safi Kedushins. Rav Yitzchak Yosef, very upset about GoPro Kedushins. GoPro engagements. GoPro engagements. So there's this new minhag in Klai Yisrael, right? So the guy had this idea. So you get engaged. So what do? You go Shea Stadium. And then you put Will You Marry Me up on the scoreboard, right? You know what I'm talking about? So Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef is really not happy about this because he thinks that's a problem of Safi Kedushin. The person gets engaged nowadays in front of many other people. So even though you're giving her a ring for the sake of what we call engagement colloquially, but since it looks like Kedushin, so we try to avoid it. So, okay.
What about a Stam engagement that they've been doing for, like, you give the girl, like, will you marry me in your hand?
No, it's fine. So that's right. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, don't do it in front of witnesses. Don't do it in front of other people.
People shouldn't be.
No, so like, don't GoPro it. Don't do it in.
GoPro it. As in, the whole point is that you're saying you need the Aedes Lakiyam
Adama. Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying
GoPro wouldn't be Aedes Lakiyam
Adama. Or he felt he should be Machmeli. Oh, but I don't know. Maybe Tzarkis was really not happy about it. But, you know, apparently it's a new minhag. So, anyway, to make a long story short, one time this guy who, like, does, he, like, video records stuff for, like, a living. So he's coming up to me complaining. Complaining about how he has to do so much work for this, like, couple's engagement, and they're getting engaged, and he has to, like, set up the camera where they're having an engagement, and the family is, like, watching it back home. So he's, like, very upset they have to do so much work for this. So I was like, you know, you should just tell them that. You can just say that you follow Rav Yitzchak Yosef and that this is a problem, and you don't have to do the work. But then he's like, oh, no, but, like, whatever. So he's, like, trying to come for a whole, he's trying to come for a whole justification for it. So, okay. I don't know.
This idea of not giving
for what? No, so, I mean, normally says it by Shalach Manos. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, normally says it by Shalach Manos. So, I'm saying, look, in general, we. What's the difference? The difference is that the Rama quotes the minhag of not giving Shalach Manos. That's the difference. And the Shechter said, yeah. Yeah. So, if a Shalach Manos is given again, this is from a man giving directly to a woman. If it's coming from a family on behalf of another family, that's fine. The problem is, like, giving directly from.
No, but do you have to give? If I give on your behalf, do you have to give
Oh, can a family, can one family member give on behalf of another family? So this is also a very complicated discussion. So can a husband give a shach maris on behalf of his wife, or does he actually have to be konet for her? Most poskim assume it works. Most poskim assume that a husband can give shach maris on behalf of his wife. Rav Yashiv and others, they had a chumra, they held that a woman, that if a husband's going to give on behalf of his wife, so that really she should be konet at first, that she should have a chelik in shach maris before she gives it, or he should be koneh on behalf of her, or whatever. But most poskim don't assume like that. Most poskim assume that, technically speaking, a husband can give on behalf of his wife, even without her knowing about it. Okay, good. Yeah, it's the same shot. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
I have a question on the suda. How set does the suda have to be?
How set?
Like, do you have to be sitting down with the people or sit down?
No, it's
Do it on the fly.
Okay, fine. So let's discuss. So first of all, do you have to have bread for the suda? So is there a chiyuv to have pas for the suda? So again, this is a major machlokes in Nosi Kim Shulchan Aruch Magen Avraham Taz. Most achrayim say you should be machmir. Most achrayim assume that a person should be machmir to have bread for the suda's Purim. As a shayla, if a person forgets al nisim and benching on Purim, they have to repeat benching again. Right? To what extent do we assume that having bread is an obligation? If you forget al nisim, you have to repeat benching. Now again, we're makel about that. We're makel if a person forgets al nisim during benching. You don't have to repeat benching. And we definitely assume that a person really should ideally have bread. And on top of that, the Magen Avraham Taz also argued that you have to have meat and wine. So the post can quote, many of them quote that your person really should have meat and wine because the mitzvah, so his poem is the mitzvah simcha. So simcha engenders meat and wine. So therefore, you should try to have bread and you should also have meat and wine as part of the suda. So then that's what the Rambam writes and that's what that's definitely what the post can bring down. Malacha. Yeah, so again, it doesn't have to be like the most formal context. It's not like you have to... It's not like you have to have it 20 over people, but like at some point during the day, you should try to. There's a shayla in general, like when it comes to, should you like try to be? Is the mitzvah suda perm all day? Is like a one time thing. So a lot of achrayim assume that's like it's an all day obligation. Meaning as long as
they're suda hapnir, saying it's a good idea to go suda hapnir.
Yeah, no, they bring down the stechan and quotes from the gra. The gra. From the second he got up, the second Megillah reading was over, like that's it, he started drinking. He would drink the entire day until, now first the Gra took it, right, so the Gemara says Chayv Inish to Besumis, so the Gra held, the Lamb says Chayv in the Gemara, it means Mesiris Nefesh until Sekans Tefashos. So he would drink all day until night. And then the second it was dark, that's how he began learning all over like that. I'm not exactly sure how he pulled that one off, but that's what the Stechem quotes from the Gra. So the Gra held that the obligation to his poem is really all day. It's really an obligation all day, not a one-time thing. Yeah, there's enough to post and discuss the following case. So normally we assume that you're not supposed to eat or drink, eat before you do a mitzvah. Is a person allowed to eat before doing Mishloach Maris Matan Savyonim? Right?
As in eat like
Abe Desuda? No, I'm saying after Shacharis. I'm saying after Shacharis, can a person eat breakfast?
No.
Well, no, so you assume why not? So I'm saying most people can assume it's not a problem. So I mean the word those Sternbach discusses maybe you should be machmer because like you shouldn't eat before doing a mitzvah. But Menashe Klein says, well, no, because any eating you do is really a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Simchas Purim. So therefore, even eating you're doing is a mitzvah. So how can you tell me you can't eat before doing a mitzvah? But the eating itself is a mitzvah. So therefore, Menashe Klein said you can eat your breakfast before fulfilling Matan Zayin and Mishloach Maris. Yeah.
Like Erev Yom Kippur, could you eat before Shacharis?
Well, that's a separate problem.
Oh, because Lo Sochel
Adam. Yeah, it's Lo Sochel Adam. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, why don't we use your Matan Zayin through Zell before?
Yes, can you send Matan Zevionim before Purim that's going to re-reach the Ani on Purim, right? So a lot of people have Simon's, like, for example, collecting Matan Zevionim now, right? But it's not going to be delivered to the poor people until Purim. So does that work? So the Aruf HaShulchan and Kaf HaChaim both say it works. So we definitely assume that works. There are those, I think, of Chaim Kinevsky's obviously said that it's ideal if you could give it to the poor person on Purim itself. Now, again, it's going to be a little bit complicated nowadays because... Baruch Hashem, what?
You don't know what to like Wizard of Ani or
something? Yeah, yeah. No. So now they have all sorts of websites. So whenever you can give find them saying. It's not like I mean, look, some yeshivas, like on Ezra's soul, all these poor people show up to yeshiva, so simply you could just fulfill the mitzvah by giving money to them. But
be a Jewish poor
yeah, yeah, it has to be a Jew. It doesn't have to be a gadol, it could be a katan if you have a, if there's a 5-year-old poor person. Yeah, but yeah, it should be a Jewish person. Yeah, so you should try to give it to a Jewish person. But I assume whoever they give the money to, they verify that they're bona fide poor people, so you would fulfill them itself. Okay. Any other questions?
What about like what's how much do you have to drink on?
How much you have to drink on Purim?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go with the Okay, so we'll go with the most machmir shita first. So the Rama has a commentary on Megillah Esther called Mechir Yain. The Rama was very poor. So one year he didn't have enough money to give out for Shalach Manos, so he wrote a sefer on Megillas Esther instead and gave that out as part of Shalach Manos. So, what?
It's a good deal.
Yeah, yeah. So in this commentary, Mechir Yain and Megillas Esther, and all their rights, he has two pretty extreme explanations. So first he says, well, the Gemara says Ad lo yada, but the person's obligated to drink until the person doesn't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Or Haman. So he says, who doesn't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Or Haman? Children. So he thinks maybe only children should drink. Children should get so drunk because they're the ones that don't know the difference between. I'm not making this up. This is what their mom writes. And then
did he quote
he doesn't say Shulchan Aruch. And then their mom gives a second sign and he says. Then he thinks really that he thinks that you have to take the din literally as it says. Our Baruch Mordechai, or he thinks that person should get drunk, kishichusa shalor, get as drunk as Lot was in Chumash, where a person doesn't even remember. They get so plastered they don't remember anything that they're doing. That's what the Rama quotes in his sefer on Megill Sester. Now Rama doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, and believe me, if there's a contradiction between what the Rama says in his commentary on Megill Sester and what the Rama says in Shulchan Aruch. So we're going to follow what the Rama says in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, so I mean, look, it's a big shayla. The Gemara in Daf Zayin Megillah says that there's an obligation, Chayvei Yishtu B'Sumei, B'Puraya, a person's obligated to drink on Purim, Adlo Yada Bin Baruch Maruch Ayar Harman. So it's a big shayla in Rishon, whether do we accept that or not, Lalacha. There were a bunch of Rishon and Rabbeinu Ephraim and others that said we don't accept this at all, Lalacha, because the Gemara subsequently brings a story of Rabbi Mizeir, the Shechted, the Rabbi Shechted Rabbi Zeir. So he says, you see from that, it's a terrible idea to get drunk, right? But mostly Shem don't agree. Mostly Shem the Rifter Rama. Mostly Shem Paskim the Halacha. That person really should get drunk on Purim. The question is, what does getting drunk mean? So this is the whole. You have the full gamut of opinions across the board here. So I guess we could start with the most extreme, right? So I guess the most extreme, as we said earlier. From the Grah and others, right, the person really is supposed to be in a state of intoxication all day. The quote from the Imik Bracha quotes from Rissel Salanter. Rissel Salanter says, when the Gemara says Chayv Inshul Basume, it doesn't mean that person's obligated once. It's an exemption, meaning a person's exempt from drinking once they've reached that state. But as long as you're not in that state, then you're still obligated to drink the entire day. Right, so meaning a person's obligated to be in a state of drunkenness the entire day. And I saw the Satmar Dayan of Harifness in the Sefer Mikashi Sal. So someone asked him, when should we start the drinking on Purim? He said, yeah, first thing right after Megillah reading, ideally all day. all day ideally a person should be drunk. Now that again is the that's a very extreme opinion. A lot of postmen are not so happy about this. The Korban Nisano and the Yad Ephraim, so they both say when the Gemara says Ad lo yada, it's Ad lo b'chlal. So not actually that you're at that state, right? Until you're a little bit before that state. The Rama and others quote from the Rambam that a person should drink enough. It's more. So the Kolbo says a person should drink more than what they're normally accustomed to drink. Yosemi Lemuda. They say the joke Yosemi Lemuda means like more than a person normally learns. They're like. The more a person learns, then the more... Okay, but Yosemi Lemuda means more than a person typically drinks. So say, okay, if a person generally drinks one cup of wine a yantif, so I think... So they said two cups of wine or whatever in Purim. I think they said from Chafetz Chaim, that's what he used to do, and Chafetz Chaim would take out his kish cup, So you fill it up, say once this is what I normally drink every Friday night, and then you fill it up a second time and say this is Yasamilamuda. But the milk quotes, no. So again, the milk quotes from the based off the Ramanava is that a person should drink to an extent that they're able to, that they fall asleep from drinking of the wine. So again, a lot of posts can point out it's not pshat that you drink and then you go to sleep. It has to be that you drink, that the drinking itself causes you to go to sleep.
So you can't fall, take a nap.
No, I mean, meaning drinking a cup of wine and taking a nap. So again, not everyone agrees. The disciple used to do this, but I'm saying a lot of the Achronim assume that even when their must says that a person should drink enough and then go to sleep after, it doesn't mean you drink a ton of wine and then just happen to take a nap. No, it means you get so drunk that the wine causes you to go to sleep. Now, they quote the following question. What about, can you take the nap at night? Meaning, is the sleeping part of the mitzvah of drinking that the same way the drinking has to happen during the day, does the sleeping also happen during the day? Can a person drink at the end of the night, Purim, at the end of the day, Purim, then take the nap going into the night? So the Binyam Zilber and Lav Dachorim assume that a person really should do the drinking and the sleeping during the day. That since the sleeping is really part of the mitzvah of the drinking, so that both of them should be filled during the daytime, not during the nighttime. Yeah, no, just to justify the minhag he saw. So there's a certain minhag a lot of people have to drink going into Purim night, right? So people are so excited about the drinking that now they drink Purim day. They like to drink into Shushan Purim. So is this are there any justifications for such a practice or not? So I found three justifications in Achronim to justify this. So justification number one, the Kodesh Glover. So he says like this. So there's a question. Let's say a person starts davening in Mincha before Shkia, and then can they continue after Shkia? So Kodesh Glover says, Tosus and Mesachas Brachas and Daf Zayin says that Bilam used to curse the Jewish people when Hashem would get angry every day. But the problem is, when would Hashem get angry every day? When the sun would come out, which was like a split second. But how can Bilam get an entire curse in that split second? So Tosus says that Bilam started the curse that second, then it would continue. So Kodesh Glover says from there, when it comes to davening, once you start davening mincha before the proper time, so you can continue even after the proper time, he thinks that's the same thing when it comes to drinking on Purim. Once you started the drinking on within the right time, then it's you can continue even after the right time. So that's pshat number one. So pshat number two from the Chasam Sofer, very, very creative. So he says like this, that we know when it comes to drinking on Purim, we drink for two reasons, Baruch Mordechai or Haman. Now, Baruch Mordechai is for Jewish people. For the Jewish people, we have night, and we have day. But when it comes to the Goyim, it's day, the night. So to drink because of Baruch Mordechai, so that's only during the daytime. But to get the Ar Haman component, to drink, that's still going into the night. So for the Chasam Sofer said, you could still drink into the night based off of that. And then I saw another pshat. Again, this one I don't fully understand. Kiddush Arim. He says that Mechias Amalek, destroying Amalek, is like a form of a korban. We know the korbanos, it goes night, then it goes day, then night. So therefore, you can continue drinking it tonight to fulfill this idea of somehow destroying Amalek if you're drinking. Again, don't fully comprehend what the Chiddush Arim is getting at. Sometimes it's hard to understand whether these Torahs are Purim Torahs or they're actually meant as justifications, but no. Okay, it is what it is. So that's some of the justifications and posting from people drinking post-Purim drinking.
That's one more, sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Mincha on Shabbos, Purim day.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
Oh, so what's the deal with that? So I saw a the posting. Everyone quotes this Chai Adam. Chai Adam says if a person's going to get so drunk that he's going to not be able to have mincha, so you can't, don't drink. If you're having mincha properly, then not to drink. But I saw a wild tshuva, I saw this tonight, from Rav Kook. Believe it or not, so Rav Kook says he thinks it's crazy. He thinks that, he thinks it's wrong. He thinks that a person is allowed to drink, and he thinks he should. A person should drink so much that they can't have mincha. Because we see most mitzvah, patur mitzvah. A person can get so drunk not, and that they're not obligated to have mincha. He says he doesn't think it's a problem, because it's osik mitzvah. So Rav Kook, I found it very surprising. It seems all the posts can disagree with Rav Kook on this one. They all say, all the contemporary posts can literally, I mean, not all, most contemporary posts can across the board. Definitely the YU Rosh Hashiva do not encourage getting drunk and ending up in the hospital room, God forbid, or worse.
How do you judge if you're proper enough to daven mincha? Like, how, like,
so we assume if you can be Omid Lifnei Melech, if, what does that mean exactly? Well, look, I think what a lot of people recommend doing is Dav Mincha first, then get... What?
Wait.
Yeah, so wait, so yeah, you can... Wait, we can dive in late.
11 o'clock,
Mara,
like,
yeah, why not? Yeah.
I'm sure everyone needs to.
What? Sober up. Drink
coffee.
Yeah, water.
What? According to Rav Kook, would you have to do Tashlumin at Marv?
So that's a separate question. Osik b'mitzvah pater b'mitzvah. Is there a chiyuv Tashlumin afterwards? So that's a whole separate thing we're not going to get into. Yeah, I don't know. I think all the posts can disagree with Cook on this one. I think they assume not like this, that really a person should dive in. Probably we don't assume Osik B'mitzvah to Pati from Tvila. Yeah. Okay, and there are 8 more minutes. Any last questions or we can hold it here?
Yeah, when you were talking about giving Mishmachos to a family,
yeah,
it's not a person.
Yeah, but you're giving it to...
So as in, like, if you were to be Mekhan, you're being Mekhan because you're giving it to each person, like, you're being Mekhan six times.
I don't know if you're counting six times. I'm sorry, you're just giving it to another Jew, and... First, you could start getting to, like, halachic, do we seem to really, the husband's kona everything, so you're not really giving it to the entire family. So, I mean, you give it to someone else. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard one time that, like, dress up comes from like a
Gaiish,
like Italian, like holiday or something.
Yeah. So last week we discussed this a bit. The stipler held not. The stipler thought the goyim got from us. So Meir Mazuz. He's a big Sephardi. He's very upset about getting dressed up in Purim. He says that it's terrible. People make the main simcha in Purim by getting dressed up and forget about the mitzvahs. So he's very upset about this. And the word also thought it was a problem with Chukos Akum, but the stipler thought the exact opposite. He thought that the goyim stole the idea from us. We came up with the idea of dressing up a Purim. The Goyim thought it was a cool idea, so they decided to do it on their holidays as well.
It's been reported like for hundreds of years, right? I mean, like, the Ramal talks about dressing.
Yeah, the Ramal quotes it. Yeah. I don't know when the Goyim started getting dressed up for their holiday. I don't know. I don't know the historical accuracy of what came first, but yeah, there definitely is a minute. It's okay to get dressed up in Purim. Last week we discussed all sorts of controversial costumes. We pointed out not a good idea to get dressed up as Gashka or priest. We discussed that. That was not a good costume. And we didn't recommend nowadays with all sorts of gender issues cross dressing for a variety of reasons.
Wait, what
about the Ramah? What? Yeah, no, so a lot of them disagree with the Ramah, and we pointed out that given contemporary society standards, some people unfortunately treat Purim, I feel like every day's Purim in terms of their way of dress. So we don't want to encourage that. We don't want to encourage things to it. But those who do, definitely what to rely upon, but I don't know if in the contemporary setting, social settings, it's necessarily the most recommended thing to do. Okay. Okay, 5 minutes. Okay, maybe just discuss, because this happened, this question we get. I just quickly, Maxis HaShekel. So what's the deal with this? What should a person do about this? Maxis HaShekel. So the Mel brings on Minog to give 3 half-quarter coins, 3 half of the current currency in that location on Mincha on Tanis Esther, after Mincha on Tanis Esther. So the question is, how much should a person give? So the word is, a lot of the Sephardi posts can assume that a person should give the equivalent of 9 grams of silver. I think a gram of silver, I don't know how much it is. I think last year we checked it was around 50 cents. I don't know, does anyone remember? Around $1? Okay, I don't know, last year. So whatever, a gram of silver is somewhere, not soup. It's not a terrible amount of money, however much it is. What? How much is it? Yeah? Somewhere around $10. So that's what the side post can say. The Ashkenazi post can take their ma at face value. That person should give $3.50 of the current currency. So since the current currency in America is $1, so $3.50 will suffice to fulfill the minog.
Will be by Gluck.
So a person should do is you give in more than that, and you can pick up the $3.50.
And then,
and put them back down and say Zeichel Maxis HaShekel. The point that you shouldn't. The Gaonim were very upset about this minhag. The Gaonim were really upset. They wanted to get rid of it because they felt that as if like people were giving money to Hektish. it's terrible. Like people, and so the Goyim were upset about this minog. So to Kuczynski, and obviously when a person gives Matzah Shtakel, they should say they're giving it as a Zecher. They're not actually giving it for the mitzvah Matzah Shtakel and giving it to Hekdesh, because the person actually gives the money to Hekdesh, then you're running into all sorts of problems of Me'ilah, and we don't have a base of Mikdash nowadays and whatever. So a person should try to make sure there's a Zecher. Again, there's different minhagim about when to give it. Some give it on Purim itself. But okay, past just the Ramaz, that person should give it after Mincha on Tanis Esther.
Why doesn't it start
Kodesh Adar? Why doesn't it start? That's a good question. I guess the minhag just developed to give it Tanis Esther. Yeah, again, yeah, I don't know. So later minhag.
I think I saw that it was because the Gemara Megillah talks about being Makdim.
Oh, yeah. Ravadi, yeah, you're good. Yeah, Ravadi, so the safe quotes. Yeah, because the Gemara Megillah says that, why is it that Hashem wanted us to be Makdim Ashkalim to Haman's 10,000 Kasef? So therefore, we specifically give the Machzis HaShekel right before Purim to signify the fact that our Machzis HaShekel protected against Haman's... very good, yeah. Ravadi says like that. Good. Okay, so just 2 more minutes. So just some quick over Tanis Esther halachos. So can a person listen to music at Tanis Esther? So generally on every fast days, the poskim aren't so happy people listen to music, because it's fast days are supposed to be about Avelos, it's about Chorban. So the question is, what's the nature of Tanis Esther? Is Tanis Esther also Deva Avelos that's not appropriate for a person to listen to music? So Rav Yashiv had a problem. Rav Yashiv felt that a person really shouldn't listen to music, because once it's a Dev Tshuva, he felt that listening to music and being in the Purim spirit was not necessarily so appropriate for the day. But almost everyone else virtually disagrees with Rav Yashiv. His son, Lev Chaim Kanievsky, the Mekadosh Yisrael, Rav Harfenis, and almost all the posts can disagree. They assume that a person is allowed to listen to music on Purim, on Tanis Esther, even though it comes to every fast days, a person really shouldn't try to listen to music because it's not really within the theme of the day. But when it comes to Tanis Esther, since the nature of the fast, it's not really a fast day of... We're not fasting for a sad reason. We're fasting to commemorate the fast that Esther established in Shushan. So therefore, it's totally appropriate for a person... I mean, they're not encouraging it. They're not saying like a person should go party on Erev Purim, but they felt that it's totally fine for a person to, if they want, they can listen to music. And all the posts across the board assume that a person can take a hot shower. There's a whole discussion in pre-Megadim and others. Can a person take a hot shower on a fast day itself? Everyone agrees when it comes to Tanis Esther, there's no problem. It's totally permitted to take a hot shower on Tanis Esther. And likewise, when it comes to getting haircuts, so there's a whole Shiloh and post-game about getting haircuts about on other fast days, but everyone agrees that on Tanis Esther, if a person wants to get a haircut for Purim, there's absolutely no problems getting a haircut for the sake of Purim, because it's a happy... to a certain extent, Tanis Esther is a happy day, so that's definitely not an issue. Okay, so I guess we'll hold it here. Everyone should have a prayer within Purim, and we should, I guess, have a halachic Purim.